Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram, offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet. This is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanti Nilayam. It is 9:40 a.m. on Thursday morning, May the 29th, 2014, and you're tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream. Dear listeners, this morning I feel so proud to tell you that I have some spectacular CBSE Grade 12 results from the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, Prashanti Nilayam, to share with you further along the show. You simply cannot afford to miss those. But first, here is the weather report from Prashanti, the abode of Supreme Peace and the Valley of Sri Satya Sai. The weather has definitely improved here in Prashanti Nilayam, and we are so happy to bid goodbye to the soaring temperatures we endured from April through mid-May. Thankfully, we have had a few pre-monsoon showers like the three-hour-long downpour on Tuesday evening, and the minimum and maximum temperatures have dropped to the 25 to 36 degrees Celsius range. Current temperature outside the Radio Sai studios right now is 27 degrees Celsius. General outlook, patchy skies with the mix of sun and cloud and the possibility of a good rainfall later in the day. We are praying to the rain gods to make it happen. Meanwhile, here's what's making news here in the Divine Valley right now. Morning prayer session has just concluded in the Sai Kulwant Hall. Thousands of devotees are making a beeline to the sacred Mahasamadhi to seek blessings, and among them are the students who have made it to the Sai schools and university for the new academic year starting June the 1st. Most of the students are expected to report to their hostels on Sunday, June 1st, in order to give themselves enough time to settle in. So, as you can imagine, it's hard to miss that back-to-school buzz in the ashram. You can see students all over the ashram and the shopping complex finishing their last-minute shopping for stationery and uniforms. Throughout his life, our beloved Lord always maintained that his students are his only property. Today, that truth resonates louder and clearer than ever before in this township. While one generation of students is all set to start the summer semester, another generation is busy preparing to welcome these students. That is because a vast majority of Baba staff in various educational institutions in Prashanti Nilayam, in Brindavan, Mudanhalli and Anantapur are Bhagwan's very own alumni, working in various capacities as school teachers, as university lecturers, as professors and administrators. Come to think of it, who in the history of humanity has ever evoked such love, such implicit obedience and intense commitment from such a large number of people consistently over the decades? Of course, I'm not denying that history has thrown up heroes from time to time who have inspired their generation. But only Bhagwan has inspired millions in every country, in every culture, in every continent to live purpose-driven lives through a balance of the heart, the head, and the hand. And here in Prashanti Nilayam, this has become an intergenerational experience. And the commitment has become only stronger after the Mahasamadhi, confirming once again that this is poised to stand the test of time and last for generations and for centuries. The net outcome is hard to miss. Be it excellence in academics, sports, culture, Sai students stand out and shine in all areas. The consistently phenomenal grade 12 CBSE results have placed Baba's Higher Secondary School here in Prashanthi Nilayam among the very top in whole of South India. And this morning, dear sisters and brothers, I am utterly delighted to share with you some of the highlights of the very recent grade 12 class results of our school. Now give me a moment to read them to you. This is very special. The total number of students, of Baba students who appeared from Prashanthi Nilayam in the CBSE, it says AISSCE, grade 12 board results for 2014, total number of students who appeared, 114. Total number of students who passed, this one is a no-brainer, all 114 of course. Total number of students in first class, again, no marks for guessing this, dear listeners, all 114, 100% first class. Number of students who scored above 90%, 66 out of 114. That is 58% of our students scored above 90%. Number of students with distinction, that is O grade, which is above 75%, 111 out of 114. The first three ranks have been bagged by five outstanding students, as three of them are tied for the third rank. And incidentally, this gives me great joy to say, all five of them are girls. Congratulations, girl power. Way to go, girls. At number one rank is Miss Komal Sa. And guess what Komal has scored? 97.8% marks. Incredible, isn't it? Following close behind Komal Sa by 0.4% in the second rank is Vaishali M. Vaishali has scored 97.4% marks. Sharing the third tight for the third rank, are three young ladies, all of whom have scored 97%. They are Maitreyi, Sukanya Barua, and Ananta Ramesh. Ananta, Sukanya, and Maitreyi, all three have scored 97% each. Now, and of course, all five of them are girls, but the boys have also done exceedingly well. They are from the fourth rank onwards. Now, I want to read to you some of our students who have scored 100 out of 100 in this favorite subject, I guess the subject which is their greatest strength. Computer science has yielded 400 out of 100. They are, of course, our very own young lady, Komal Sa, who is the topper, and three young men, Saurabh, 100%, LV, SV, Durga Prasad, 100%, Sai Ganesh Reddy, M, 100% in computer science. In physics, our second ranker, or is it third ranker, Sukanya Barua has scored a 98%. In chemistry, Komal Sa, 99%, Rishi Sai Bharadwaj G, 99%, AVS Bharadwaj, 99%, Sukanya Barua, 99%. So two boys and two girls have scored 99% in chemistry. In biology, Vaishali M has scored 99%. In Sanskrit, you know, we do a lot of Vedam and everything here, so Sanskrit is one of our strengths, which is elsewhere, like, hardly attended to or focused on subject. In Sanskrit, Varun Makkar, 99%, Maitreyi, 99%, Khushbu Sai, 99%, Vaishali M, 99%, Sai Prashant G, 99%, Monica Satyakumar, again 99%. In accountancy, Ananta Ramesh again scores a 99%. In mathematics, Komal Sa, 99%. In business studies, Pradyumana M scores a 99%. Purnachandra Sai Prarinita B, 99%. Vidushi Jaiswal, 99%. Economics, Swati K, 97%. In Telugu, Dali Jayashree Reddy, 95%. In English, Latendu Das, 96%. Prahlada DR, 96%. Satyam Santosh, 96%. K Sai Nikhilesh Murthy, 96%. Maitri, 96%. In Hindi, V. Subramanyam Abhishek, 95%. Hearty congratulations to all the successful students. Doesn't it make you wonder how do they do it year after year? The incredible results truly are due to Bhagwan's grace and the intense hard work and commitment of Baba's teachers, who work with every child to help him or her achieve their personal best. And let's not forget that our schools are not those educational factories that churn out academic overachievers, those bookworm whiz kids who spend every moment only studying for their grades. Our schools are based on the Gurukul system of integrated education, where children have to live simple lives of discipline, manage their time efficiently, they have to be self-reliant, and they have to prioritize and balance. That is, balance their studies, sports, their spirituality, creativity, arts, music, drama, mandir programs. What a full plate of opportunity the Sai system of education offers. And yet, Baba students manage to excel in every sphere, year after year. That truly is an outcome of divine grace that fuels everything happening here, even today. Now, speaking of wholesome balance and prioritizing, today on Morning Glory, I'm honored to welcome a very special studio guest, Dr. Rajneesh Talwar, Brigadier Designate of the Armed Forces Medical Services, presently working at the Army Hospital Research and Referral in New Delhi. Last year, we aired a Tris with Divinity interview with Dr. Rajneesh Talwar on Radio Sai, and we received an overwhelmingly positive feedback. And many of our listeners wanted to get in touch with him. Like, this was really unprecedented. Now, at Radio Sai, we have a policy that we don't share the contact information of our guests with our listeners, but what we do is we direct their queries to our guests so that the guests can decide if they want to be in touch with the listeners and how they want to go about it. This is out of respect for the privacy of the guest. Dr. Talwar gave us a blanket permission to share his email ID and telephone number with anyone who wanted to reach out to him. In the process, he connected with many of our listeners one-on-one, the most poignant being the counseling he offered a Sai family where a young father was suffering in the final stages of cancer. Dr. Talwar's enormity of heart, his wisdom and sincerity, and his unnerving humility to translate Baba's teachings into his daily life, I better get on with it instead of just gushing over all that. So let me just start by saying, Brother Rajneesh, Sai Ram, and a very warm welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live.
Sai Ram, sister.
Very nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Now, you're a busy oncosurgeon dealing with patients suffering from cancer. You have a very full schedule. You're also a family man, a father of two. And you maintain this calm demeanor, this tranquility and serenity about you without ever getting stressed. How do you do it?
Sister, I think I would put it this way. I owe it to Swami's grace in the form of an experience, a personal experience over the years which he's blessed me with, an experience of my relationship with Swami, an experience which makes me to share with you that for me, Swami is Kaivalyam. He is the one and only one, the one who matters, the one what matters. I know Swami as the Parabrahman, as the Sadashivam, Mahalingam, as Mahavishnu, as Sat. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. Each word is weighty and experienceable. I know him to be Satya Sai Maheshwaram. And to this experience of mine, I owe my being. I am sitting before you because of this experience. The visible bit, whatever you talked about, is only the visible bit. It's only the suprastructure, the scaffolding. The foundation is my relationship with Swami. I think all human beings are born to form a relationship, a true relationship with God. And my God, my Godhead is Swami.
And that, just living in that truth is what helps you to stay so calm and focused and centered?
I will take care all the time not to try and intellectualize spirituality. And instead what Swami wants us to do, spiritualize the intellect. I would take care not to intellectualize spirituality. Still, I would have to put myself into thoughts and then into words, and that might give you a feeling as if I'm trying to intellectualize, but I'll have to put in words. So this visible bit of me, this peace, this demeanor, is only the suprastructure. Unfortunately, we all, through our minds and intellect, can only see the suprastructure. We can't see the foundation. I wish that we can see and we can feel our own foundations and then know that we are all equally as much at rest.
Wow. Profound. Now, this spiritualizing the intellect that you speak of, how does that translate into this amazing work-home balance you seem to maintain despite such a high-stress job and the many demands on your time?
You see, it's like asking, like wondering, I mean, watching a skyscraper, a 100- or 200-story building, and wondering how it would have come up. We don't even think, pause to think that how much time would have been and effort would have gone into laying the foundation.
Very well said.
The foundation has been laid well enough, then the building can be 1-storied or 500 stories. It doesn't really matter. It is only the visible bit which is appearing calm and peaceful, but it is only the visible bit. The foundation is not calm and quiet. It is absolutely still.
Whoa. Okay, now I don't know what to say next. Okay, I'll come back to something more superficial than what the profoundities that you're sharing. You know, a lot of, you perform cutting-edge cancer surgeries, but you also dive so deep within into this foundation, which is absolutely still. Now, we hear this repeatedly, that all physical disease is a manifestation of a deeper malfunctioning within. What can we do spiritually to stay healthier?
Sister, I think your question is finally, of course, to an oncologist going to lead also to, I'm just preempting it, also to what is the cause of cancer, not only the cause of disease.
Exactly.
So I would put it this way, yes, the cause of every disease is, as I talk superficially to everybody, is lifestyle.
I see.
Now, what is lifestyle? Lifestyle gives us hollowness within us. Lifestyle makes us spiritually weak, spiritually impoverished. If we can set our lifestyle right, I mean, the obvious bits are the smoking and the drinking and the late nights and whatever is visible, but there are still subtler ways of, lot of ways in which we are not leading the lifestyle as it should be. Now, why does one, I've been from the beginning coming to Swami, to the ashram, I mean, as many times as possible in a year. 6 times, 8 times, 4 times, 10 times. As many leaves I have, I spend here. What do I do as a logical, rational man? What do I do here? It's only polishing and transforming my lifestyle. Base my lifestyle on the dictates of what Swami is. What is the need for God to come as a Godhead, as an avatar, as a yuga avatar, to transform our lives? He doesn't talk profundities. He doesn't talk spirituality. He only changes and transforms the lifestyles. And when the lifestyles are transformed, everything comes into shape. If we can set our lifestyles based on the dictates of what the Creator wanted us humans to be, everything will straighten. We will live normally, healthily, as much as it is allotted to us. We would not shorten our lives. We would not fall ill and sick every other day.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to actually set our lifestyles right and base it exactly as per his dictates. As it is said, hukam rajai chalna nanak likhya nal. In Gurmukhi it is said that live as the dictate is. Whenever you will waver, wander from that, you will have to face trouble.
But Dr. Talwar, I just thought of something. You know, great masters such as Sri Ramana Maharishi, Sri Ramakrishna Paramhamsa, they lived such ideal lives of purity, of self-inquiry, of spirituality. But at the end, they both ended and passed away from, they were ailing from cancer.
Very interesting query. That is why the world is like the world is. Now, what do I mean to say? See, the smokers say that even non-smokers die of cancer,
right.
So why should I give up smoking?
Or even vegetarians get cancer.
Vegetarians.
Why not? Yeah.
So, but the statisticians, the scientists have told you that majority people who suffer do this and this and this and this. So that doesn't mean that a person who's a vegetarian, is a non-smoker, is a non-drinker will never die. The body must die. And there are essentially three ways of death. People do ask me, has the cancer increased in incidence? I would like to share humbly that not really. There is a recent trend over the last century or half a century that we want to know the cause of death. Hmm. We would not let a man die without certifying what is the cause of death. In my view, it's nearly as bad as meeting a person and asking him, what's your religion? I mean, what is it to do with your human? You're a human being. Why do I need to know you're a Muslim or a Christian or a Hindu? So when death occurs, why do I need to know why did he die? Why do I need to certify it? And if I certify each one as either a stroke or a heart attack mm-hmm. or a cancer, then incidence of stroke and heart attack and cancer definitely rises. It is not actually rising. It is just that we all have to die. And these are the three main causes of death.
Heart stroke, cancer or stroke?
Heart attack, what's called myocardial infarction. Stroke, which is also called a brain stroke. And cancer. Mm-hmm. What other way can you perceive to be, causing death? These are the three essential ways of God declaring the finality.
And old age.
Old age also will have one of these three things. Old age in itself will not stop the heart. Whenever the heart stops, we'll call it a heart attack.
Oh, I see. Okay. Makes sense. Now, what advice, you combine not only the scientific background, but so much of depth and understanding of human nature. So based on that, what advice would you give Radio Sai listeners who are going through this ordeal of either cancer detection or treatment for themselves or a family member right now?
I would humbly request, state to myself as well as to listeners, it's thought sharing that we need to set our foundations right. If the foundations are okay, everything is fine. It's unnecessary to keep getting insurances from million sources. Those insurances will not come to our help. It is we ourselves who have to set our foundations right. If we set our lifestyle right, everything comes in place. And behind that, even the foundation of the lifestyle is also our relationship with reality, with the Shashwat reality, as we'd call it, imperishable reality, which I call Swami. And you may call God, or you may call Jesus, or you may call Allah. It doesn't really matter.
Now, when you speak of setting the foundation right, what do you mean? Can you elaborate on that, please?
What has happened with me is that I met Swami, and I wanted peace from him, and he told me that you have created hell for yourself. You will have to straighten your thoughts, your words, your deeds, and you will have to become a student. As it is called. Now I'm a Punjabi, I know what the word Sikh means, a Sikh. A Sikh or a Sikh means a disciplined, devoted student. Mm-hmm. A disciplined, devoted student of a guru, of an avatar, is a blessing. And I would share with you that a physical guru is a necessity, in my view, my humble view. It's a necessity till you find the guru within yourself. And you will naturally, the true guru will lead you to the guru within you. And that's a definite happening. And satsang is all about sharing a thought process with people who have not yet reached that stage where they can start feeling their guru within themselves. Mm-hmm. Saira.
Now, how does one know that, when we introspect, many of us sit for quiet reflection time and we're looking to find guidance from within, how do I know that I'm listening to the guru within or not to a voice of my wishful thinking?
When I straighten my lifestyle, that means to say when I start obediently listening to the dictates of do's and don'ts, gradually and gradually, the grace starts pouring. The grace starts pouring and I start getting quieter and quieter. And in the depths of my silence, I start really listening to the voice of God. And that's when things really start falling in shape. And I start getting clear evidences of his presence around me. And it's an experience which anyone and everyone should seek and be able to have.
Absolutely, Swami says we're all capable of it.
We are all capable. We are not sure that it is possible. That's why perhaps coming to the ashram, or that's why satsang is a necessity.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, you've been very helpful in counseling families, including those who reached you via Radio Sai. This was in case of the families whose member was affected by cancer. They were in their final stages. What do you tell people whose families are the patients? I believe you also counsel the patient as well as the family around. They're facing these bleak prospects. It's like heart-tearing. It's like somebody's pulling the rug under your feet. And how do you go about counseling them? What do you tell them, Dr. Pillai?
You know, it's our deliberate decision to stay grounded in what the scriptures call Maya, and I would say ignorance in English. It is our personal decision to stay enmeshed in ignorance, which creates all the trouble. Once you live in reality, you transmit reality. I more or less would humbly again submit that more or less I live in reality. And the reality is that I am not the perishable body, the topsy-turvy mind, and the waxing and waning intellect. I am the innermost reality, which we call the soul, which is the Atma. Atma means I, which is me, is that imperishable reality. And when I live the imperishable reality, I don't think I really need to put in words, but it's a body language. It's my being reality, which transmits the reality to the listener or to the person who sits in front of me. And he also starts perceiving his own imperishable reality, and the fear of death goes away. That's how I can at best and at least intellectualize spirituality, which I should not be doing.
Very well said. Now, when you talk of, when you, as you said, you intellectualize your spirituality and convey what is your conviction to your patients or their near and dear ones, how do they react to it? Everybody's not at the same level.
Generally, 100%, I would say, not 99. We all know, you know, at material level also, that the truth is the best medicine. And the truth is our imperishable reality. Truth is not only speaking what you have seen, in the same manner, in the sequence. Truth actually means your imperishable reality. And truth is the best medicine. When you share the truth with anyone and everyone, it brings about a calming effect. And everything starts falling in shape, I would say.
You make it sound so easy, the way you say it. I guess it comes from your conviction. Now, apart from oncosurgery, Dr. Talwar, you also perform some serious spiritual nip and tuck. And you're quite a poet, I understand. Now, let's talk about these poems you write. They're so divinely inspired. Maybe I'll just read a small portion to the listeners, and then I'll have the pleasure of having you read them out. I have some printed here. One that you have written, and which I really, really like, it goes like this. Swami, this much existence I do seek, to be able to seek you, to know you, to feel you, to call at you. I am happy to have dissolved in you, thus that I don't know if really I exist or not. Still, this much existence I do seek, this much existence I do seek. Is there more? Let me just see. And another little one. Time alone is the distance between me and you, my love. With every passing moment, it gets lesser and lesser. Let me also tell you, but, my beloved self, time, in fact, is as much an imagination as this imaginary distance between us. We are one, and that alone is the truth. Yet, ponder ye, my love, don't we owe our love to this blessed imagination alone? When we are one, who would love whom? Sai Ram. Very profound, Dr. Talwar. Now, if you're in this state of mind, and if you're in this so centered on that oneness, how do you tackle something like, let's say you're a father of two young boys, and one of them is a teenager. And let's say he has his moments of teenage angst, and he's, you know, being rebellious and throwing a tantrum, or giving his mom and dad a hard time, which any child can occasionally, you know, decide to do things their own way. Now, the state you're in, how do you come down to things like parenting? Is it difficult, or is it just happened the way you counsel people from your reality?
You see, today morning, my wife was sharing with me that my teenage son is not behaving with her. Now, I shared with her that he is not misbehaving with you. He is actually misbehaving with himself. He's not at ease, and with his mother, he's the most transparent self. So because he's not happy within, so he's manifesting it to you. And you seem to be thinking that he's misbehaving with you. You want him to put on the veil of etiquettes and manners even before the mother? I don't think that is right. At least let him be natural with his mother. That's what my way of communicating with my wife was. Now, I would want to share with you that, again, I would bring you down to the foundation. If the foundation is stable and at rest, whatever from outside you do is stable and peaceful and penetrating. If I am speaking from my heart, there is every possibility that I am reaching your heart. But if I am speaking from the teeth, then I can only reach your teeth. Hmm. I need to speak, to think, to verbalize, to perform from my heart just about anything and everything. And that's all what life training is about. That's what makes a man an evolved man. And that's what makes a man fulfilled. And then everything that he does or he performs has far-reaching depth and influence. That's, again, my conviction. And that's the conviction born out of my relationship with the Yugavatar.
What a sorted perspective. Now, that's how you would obviously counsel your wife or suggest to her to deal with the situation. What would you tell your son?
Oh, indeed, I'll tell him also that, yes, you be transparent with your mother, but also know that you have certain responsibilities towards the mother. You, even if you're not feeling well, do things which you're supposed to do in the morning. Wish her a good morning, touch her feet, take her blessings. Rather than being transparent and letting her know that you are not at ease. And why are you not at ease? Because you are still a teenager. You will also grow, and you will grow to be me someday, and I'll grow to be Swami someday.
How does he respond to all this?
Oh, he is a very wise boy, and I think he registers whatever I tell him. The seeds have been sown, and they will take their own time to sprout. I'm in no hurry.
I see. Dr. Talwar, I have some of your poems here. I'll just pass them on.
I would also share with you. Please. I'll just get up and pick up the paper.
Yes, sure.
I would also humbly share with you that I have never read whatever I write second time and never edited and never felt the need to read what I have been writing. It is just a flow of my thought which goes on paper, and I would want to request you that I never think that I'm a poet, not at all. It is just that, you know, whatever is happening within, sometimes it comes on paper, not for my reading, but for clarifying my own thought process, crystallizing my own thought process. I really have never read whatever I wrote yesterday.
On Morning Glory, it's an exclusive. We have Dr. Talwar reading his own work for the first time. What a distinction and an honor. Dr. Talwar, for obliging us.
I love.
So go ahead and whatever you pick some of the lines from your beautiful poems.
I would begin. Okay, this one says, "My beloved most one and only one, know that the waves upon my surface self are not out of any helplessness of mine. I know no weaknesses after all. I am in absolute control of me." This is, you know, from the Parabrahman, from Satya Sai Maheshwar. "My beloved most one and only one, know that the waves upon my surface self are not out of any helplessness of mine. I know no weaknesses after all. I am in absolute control of all of me. The waves are an essential facet of me, as holy as my deeper self. The noisy bit of me is as essential bit of me as is my serene self. If you still have choices and predilections, I must be failing in my upbringing. You are the only creation bit of mine. You are the only creation bit of mine. You, he's addressing the Atma. He's addressing the Ghatakash. The Karanakash, the Mahakash is addressing the Ghatakash. Now what is Karanakash and Ghatakash? There's a vessel, an empty vessel. There is space within it, which is that space within the vessel is called Atma. And the space outside, it is called the Mahakash or the Paramatma. It's the space outside which is addressing the space inside. Both are empty spaces, full spaces actually. The fulfillment is that space only. So it says, if you still have choices and predilections, I must be. Space cannot have choices and predilections. If you still have choices and predilections, I must be failing in my upbringing in telling you that you are the space. So you are the only creation bit of mine, the Moola Prakriti, the beauty itself. Rest all is seeming Vikriti bit. Know this Vikriti also to be myself, me myself. In fact, it's the noisy surface bit of me to which I owe my own gratitude. It's the noisy bit of me which gives birth to you and matures you into this unadulterated beauty. So just about this much.
Wonderful. Brother Rajneesh Talwar, what an honor it has been to have you on Morning Glory on Thursday Live. I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed listening to you as much as I have. There's so much to take in. I think I need to go back to this interview and listen to it after downloading it and just take it all in. Very profound, very enlightening. Thank you so very much.
Sai Ram, thank you very much.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed that conversation, that live studio conversation with our studio guest. That is Dr. Rajneesh Talwar, Brigadier Designate from Delhi, from the Armed Forces R&R Hospital. He's an oncosurgeon and he's also a very intense spiritual surgeon, I must say. Please send us your feedback to this conversation by email at listener@radiosci.org. And now it is time for me to play for you our feature presentation, that is part 3 of this 3-part Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with Brother Venkatraman Krishnamurthy. Mr. Krishnamurthy is an alumnus of the Sai University and here he is in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Mr. Bishu Prushti.
The life's purpose, I have just known it now when Swami told me that I had to extend your life. That is the reason I came here. I don't know what is going to do with my life now, with the extension, but I know that this is a life of grace. After 8 months, there were some problems in my family, so my father had called an astrologer. And he said, okay, do one thing, go to a pan shop, close your eyes, just take 5 petals and just come, don't count. So he says, first is your father, that is my father's father, second leaf will be you, third is your wife, fourth is your son, fifth will be your daughter, since you want to ask of these 5 people. It will be indicative of what is going to happen to these 5 people. He took 4 leaves. That was completed. He told about my grandfather. He told about my father, mother. The 4th leaf he took.
These are palm leaves.
These are bitter leaves.
Okay, bitter leaves.
So the 4th leaf he took, and he just saw it was broken right from the end to end.
Mm-hmm.
It was just holding by the edges.
Okay.
And he said, "Is this your son's leaf?" And then he says, his lifespan should have ended. See, this is torn end to end. He said, this is just holding by the edge. And then he said, this is absolute grace. He has some Param Shakti which is holding him. His body is holding his life because of some Param Shakti. I don't even want to talk about him. He says, his life should have ended sometime before. And then again, temporarily you forget, no? Then I went back. I told my father, see, this is what I told you. And see, this third party is validating what has been told. And that event, Pushti, turned my family towards Swami. Because till that time, see, unless an event happens to you personally, the impact is not there.
Yes.
So this opened my father and mother's eyes and they said, this is it. You know, this is a third party authentication that he has extended your life. And that astrologer refused to speak anything. He says, whose life is being held by a Mahashakti, what do I qualify to speak? I don't want to talk of this point. And then I again remembered he saying, life extend kiya, socho mat kitna jiyega.
Yes.
And that even turned my parents also towards Swami. So the whole family came into his fold 2002 or 3 that time. So Prishti, I always remember when he said in Trai that what event I make you understand, you know, and you are grateful.
Yes.
But there are several events in our life, Prishti, which we don't even know that has changed because of him, because he has not told us that.
Yes.
So I learnt that time to live every day and every moment as a life of gratitude. That unless you live your life with gratitude, you have not lived properly. Because only that is the proper dedication to him.
Absolutely.
And then life gave me opportunities after leaving the hostel. You know, I came in touch with another magnanimous personality, Ramesh Sawant sir, who is our state president in Maharashtra. And he is an ideal choice in terms of someone who has to lead a state. Someone who is warm, who is very calm, who is very nice, and who is completely dedicated to Bhagwan. And that, and 2000 onwards started my life's journey into the Sai work and how you could be instruments in bringing his name to a few more people that he has willed to come. You have Litesh Majetia, who is Neeraj and Nitin's brother. He started the whole Gram Seva movement in Maharashtra. So we all traveled together. We used to travel every day morning. We used to start 5 o'clock in the morning. And by Swami's will, you know, we were able to do some water projects, do medical camps, do school rebuilding activities. And in the entire process, I actually saw what Swami says, you know, how I will use you, you yourself will not come to know until that event happens. So touch wood, Prishti, 13 years since I left the institute, this is the 14th year. Some way or the other, he has utilized me in his work, you know, and because Sahu and others are in Bombay, some amount of work happens through me to through Sai Anandam. You are just an instrument.
Sai Anandam is the orphanage in
Orissa.
Orissa.
So, you know, and even my domestic life, Swami has taken care of. You know, Swami says, Siya Dharmapatni. So, I got my Dharmapatni in 2007. So, she took care of the house where I used to go into work.
Yes.
You know, even my house today, you know, last year on, we had Ekadashi Rudram. All our boys were there.
Okay.
You know, 21 times chanting of Ashtotram was there. So these all small events keep happening. You know, our house is now, every Sunday we have a Vedam class going on for about 8-10 children. So life travels on, Prishti, as every moment is His grace. You know, whenever I lose steam, I just sit down and I ruminate on that one moment when He said, extension is to now.
Yes.
And I said, Swami, even this moment and further on is life's grace.
Yes.
I have no time to waste.
Yes.
So get back to work.
Wow. I think absolute. I mean, the kind of lessons that he kept on giving you once you stepped into his folds physically, though he was all the time looking at, taking care of you, when he's definitely orchestrated that entire journey. But it all ended on that such a high note. He just left you totally bewildered.
Correct.
By the time you left, you were, I think, completely in tune with him.
And I was so high on energy that time, Prishti. It has carried on my life till now. You know, and even though Swami has left his physical frame, Prishti, you know, I always say that Sai Ramayan kabhi khatam nahi hoga. Sai Ramayan will never end.
Yes.
Because, you know, there is an event that is there in Ramayana where Rama says that I am ending my avatarik sajan. Main khatam kar raha hun. So those who want, come with me. I am going into Sarayu.
Yes.
So hundreds of people merge with him.
Yes.
But Hanuman is still standing there.
Yes.
And Rama says, you are my greatest devotee. You are not coming.
Yes.
So he says, you are a liar of the highest order. How you have said that Ramayana will be over?
Yes.
Ramayana and Ramcharitmanas will never end.
Correct.
He says, we are there.
Yes.
He says,
as long as there are rivers flowing on this earth. And mountains there, Rama, the name of Rama will always be there.
He says, your name and Rama Tattva is eternal.
Yes.
I will not accept that Ramayana is over.
Yes.
He says, until this earth remains, I will continue to chant your name. Wherever Ram Katha is going, I will chant.
I will there.
So like Prishti, it is an opportunity. Our life is also, you know, as long as we remain and we continue to talk about Him.
Yes.
Ramayana, Sai Ramayana will never end.
I think that's why it also is. Bhagwan also very clear, you know, he never mentioned, even before he left, he never mentioned that I am going or this is all, my avatar, my mission is over, Satya Sai avatar is come to its completion. He never mentioned anything. It was just a transition phase, that's
correct.
All.
Where he readied everybody.
He readied everybody.
And, you know,
you are experiencing physical presence, now experience more concretely my omnipresence.
Correct. And whether his return happens, whether he comes, whenever he comes as Prema Sai, we don't know all that, Prushti. But I'm saying this is the moment for us, you know, that as long as our breath is on,
yes,
you know, the Sai Ramayan should go on. You know, yes, we have to, whatever we experience, we have to tell people. India's villages are still so downtrodden.
Yes.
I think it is so important for each one of us to go into the villages. The SSS VIP that Bhagwan has given is so important. Each and every aspect of what has to be done in there is given by him. It's a guiding booklet he has left before he left his body. So that is a ready reckoner available. So whether it is your home, whether it is your society, whether it is the Gram Seva that you get into, every day there is a new experience waiting for you to show that he exists within you and everybody. And that is the whole, the gatha of Sai Ramayan that you need to continue. And
yes,
until life remains in you.
Yes.
For me, I say it is anyway for everyone.
Yes.
I say it is anyway extended time he has given.
Yes.
So for me, I just pray that it is that more important.
Yes.
That we continue that.
Absolutely. And just like Hanuman said, wherever your name is sung, your presence will be felt there and he will be there.
Yeah.
Because as Swami said, wherever my name is sung, I install myself there. So Hanuman is there wherever his name is sung. I think it's the same thing for all of us.
Correct.
Wherever his work is going on, we feel his presence.
Absolutely.
Though he's there everywhere, it's just that you feel more palpably his love, his grace. And we need to create those oases of his presence. People can feel his love more.
In fact, the same thing Prushti, Ramesh Sawant, our state president, said, that you all have the pain of Swami not being physically present, you not being able to see him. Use that pain as an energy to work more for him.
Yes.
That is what he keeps telling everybody. That's what Nimish Bhai, who is a very, he is again an embodiment of Swami's work. Everybody keeps telling the same thing, that don't keep sitting feeling the pain. Convert it to energy.
Yes.
That I am now getting ready to be an instrument by his own will.
Yes.
Ultimately, we are just that chess coins, which he has to just keep moving.
Yes.
So we just be ready to be available to be moved.
Yes.
So your life is an opportunity to be of gratitude to him.
In fact, on your own, if you do it, it is good. Otherwise, he will, as I say, God, the two ways. Either you on your own go to God and, you accept and surrender. Otherwise, he'll barge into you.
Correct. Correct.
There is no choice.
Correct. Correct. It's a great opportunity, Pushti.
Yes.
Sometimes in life, we all Sai students, if we just sit down in our life alone, what a magnanimous opportunity we have had.
Absolutely.
To be with the cosmic nature who has been Rama and Krishna, or who is both Rama and Krishna together.
Yes.
So I sometimes shudder to believe what led me to him.
Yes.
What led me, whether it is my parents' good samskaras, whether it is my family's good samskaras, or whether it is my connection with him somewhere in the past birth. I don't know. But I think it has happened for all of us. And life has become a celebration because of that, that we have been with him. And it's an opportunity to talk about him everywhere.
Yes. Absolutely. There are so many other things that I want you to share, brother. Your corporate life. Bhagwan gave you this chance to do MBA here. And as soon as you joined, as you mentioned, he first gave you a very practical lesson of life. And I think as you do MBA here, you get so many more practical lessons like that, how to be a good manager. And after that, you had this chance to get into the corporate sector. And you've been now there for almost 12, 13 years. So how do you think the training in the management program here helped you to handle the stress and the pressures of corporate life? Because, today if you talk to youngsters and you tell them that when you are even in the corporate sphere, even when you're really having such ambitions of growing in your business or growing in your career, never ever compromise on your principles, that really becomes very difficult for people to accept. Because people say it's very difficult to really grow quickly in the corporate ladder if you want to really be so fastidious about your principles. You have to at many times compromise, and you have to do that. That is the way the world is. That is the way you can grow in life. That is the kind of feeling that you get whenever you speak to youngsters, You can't really become a Satya Harishchandra and then think that I will make money or I will become a successful professional. What is your take?
See, Pushti, that man management book which we had, that was our, Gita for every
compilation
of Bhagwan's teachings.
See,
I joined HDFC Bank in 2000. I think 4 months after I moved out, I joined HDFC Bank in October or September 2000. I spent 6 years there. And I was actually part of a startup team which started the bank's corporate internet banking product. It required a lot of patience and perseverance to convince customers, because when a product is new, and our whole performance evaluation was on how many customers we have moved on to this electronic banking platform, because it costs lesser and it adds more revenues.
Yes.
So, you know, the three P's that Bhagwan taught us, purity, patience and perseverance. So, you know, I was the first member of that team with my boss, and afterwards when I moved out of HDFC Bank, there were 12 members in that team. The work had expanded so much. It is three P's which that came in use there, that you have a purity of purpose, you have patience as you proceed with your work, and you have perseverance. So as volumes grew 300 times from the time when I joined to the time I left, today if you look at HDFC Bank's corporate internet banking product, it is the largest used product in the history of banking today. The amount of transactions that flow through the corporate internet banking product is only second to what that SBI would have. In fact, among private banks, it would be the largest.
Yes.
So the three P's that Bhagwan thought, and the five D's that Bhagwan thought, is that I applied. The other thing, there was an event that happened where I actually, I lost on two promotions because of certain events that happened there. Because I don't want to name the corporate, I don't want to name the person, but there was a lady's dignity which came into perspective there. That was an event that happened. And I stood by her, and I stood from the perspective of certain decisions that I had taken, which were not actually in the business interests of the bank, because the person it was impacting in the corporate pulled off all business from us.
Because you wanted to stand by this
lady. By lady. So I said, this is my principle, and I was very clear, saying, sir, I come from Sri Satsai Institute that teaches us to stand by Dharma. And even if it affects me negatively today, it's okay. But I'm going to stand by that.
So even if it meant the company losing business, you losing a promotion?
No, that, see, the company is responsible for a lot of stakeholders. The company yes. cannot lose business.
Yes.
But what happened is I was moved out of the lucrative corporate segment. So you have large corporates, you have PSUs, you have small corporates. I was moved from that lucrative corporate segment to a mid corporate. That is actually a demotion. But I said it's okay. I don't have a problem. And the end of the day when I sleep, I must know that whatever extended life he has given me, I have used that time to go as per Dharma. Ultimately, you come with your hands closed and you go with your hands open. So there is nothing that is going to be so overwhelmingly gained by you that you are going to lose out here, you have to say. Of course, I lost out on that few lucrative accounts there, but in 7 months, I moved to a new bank. I moved to Standard Chartered. Okay.
Okay.
And I moved to there, it was a new environment, new setup, things changed. So I'm saying you have to understand at any point in time, Prushti, that not that I'm telling you, I'm just reiterating to myself that, you know, temporary losses in your life will be there.
But if you really follow the principles.
See, Swami said following Dharma need not give you big gains. Following Dharma itself is a big blessing.
Yes.
That itself is a big blessing for you. So that teaching which, you know, Kishore sir in our institute always used to keep saying this, following Dharma need not give you big gains, but the fact that you followed Dharma is a big blessing of Bhagwan.
Yes.
So that I kept reiterating, and I don't want to elaborate too much on that event, but it happened. But the fact is that I got led through that and got moved into a different environment where the earlier environment doesn't even affect me.
Yes.
So temporarily, you know, life takes you through events, but if you hold on to what he says and if you hold on to what, you cannot brush that aside as impractical at that point in time when a test happens into you. You have to hold on, and then you move to a different environment where that particular event has no relevance to you after that.
Yes.
And of course, then promotions and everything came. And I now am with Ratnakar after 7 years with Standard Chartered. And I was very clear that you will remember Swami said, don't spend less than 5 years with the organization. Don't just leave. I don't like job hopping is what Swami said.
Job hopping, yeah, very quick job hopping.
So my first was 6 years, second was 7 years. So I'm just 9 months into this new bank, which is Ratnakar Bank. So we are a new setup. It's an old bank, but it's still a very new set of administrators. The bank is growing. And I'm responsible along with few others in setting up the entire transaction banking desk. So it's a new event, new startup, new responsibilities. So it's a new experience.
Okay.
So life takes you through various events. So if you sit down and see how did that happen, what happened, you might not be able to surrender. You just went through it. Yes. Life is that.
Yes.
You go through it.
So if you believe in dharma, as Bhagwan used to always say, dharmo rakshati
rakshita.
So if you protect dharma, dharma will definitely protect you. Only you need to have the courage.
Correct.
In fact, I just read somewhere that courage is such an important virtue. I mean, suppose if you do not have courage, you sometimes are not in a position to follow any of the other virtues. Because to follow any of the other virtues, also, you need to have courage.
Correct.
And this is one thing that I've seen when I've interacted with many Sai students. You know, everyone has that confidence.
Correct.
Because they don't depend on themselves so much.
I agree with you.
They depend on that capital S.
Correct.
That self-confidence.
Even if you talk of corporate social responsibility, Suprashti, HDFC Bank did something on fronts, but you know, we as Sai students, you know, Samir Bhatia, who is a Sai devotee, was there as this corporate banking head. So we along with him charted out, you know, what we could do more. So the first water project that happened in Maharashtra was actually sponsored by HDFC Bank.
Yes.
And you know, in fact, Mr. Jimmy Tata, whom I respect a lot, he is the head of corporate banking there. Now he has moved to credit. He, in fact, when he inaugurated one of the taps, he said, giving money is so easy. But the last 9 months of strenuous effort that you people have taken here,
yes,
the well digging, the pipeline laying, the tank construction, the testing, the vacuum pumps, that is a very, very arduous work that you have done. And it has taken 9 months to do this.
Yes.
And from then on, you know, there was a proper CSR manager appointed in HDFC Bank.
Okay.
So, you know, to an extent, you know, Sai students had a role to start off the proper CSR framework there.
Yes.
Again, in Stan Chart, you know, of course, Litesh was also there in HDFC. We both moved to Stanchart also. So again, a few Sai students along with Litesh, we've been doing, you know, they have a water policy within Stanchart. So again, water and water projects became a theme which we adopted there, and two projects got sponsored by Stanchart. And the entire employees who came with there on a community day, they were completely famoxed, and they said, you know, you have been walking 45 minutes on the top of the hill to provide water. We've got so stressed on day one. You know, how will these villagers who are living their daily life would have been doing this? You know, they saw old ladies carrying water at one head. You know, the entire Stanchart staff which was there, they had one thing to say, that, you know, we don't know much about Satya Sai Baba, but what he has inspired all of you, what he has made all of you, that shows what kind of a master he is. Wow. And that was a huge salutation to Bhagwan. Wow. And in the corner, me or Litesh or many others just sat quietly and we said,
yes,
thank you, Swami, for having done this.
Wow.
We are just puppets, you've used us.
I just reminded of one quote of Swami Vivekananda. He says, towards the end of his life, through my life, if I can demonstrate even an iota of my master's greatness, then my life would not have gone in vain.
Beautiful.
And I think that is something that applies to every one of us.
Every devotee.
All of us who have tasted his love and who experience his love and you feel his presence, you know. Only when at some point in time when you feel that, yes, you have done something where Swami will say, yeah, I am proud of you.
Absolutely.
I think that is what all of us look up to. And it's really wonderful, Venkat, you sharing all these things, because it's really been very inspiring. And I hope that we take this opportunity, as you mentioned, to reflect more and see how we can extend whatever the remaining of our lives which Bhagwan has given, you know, and convert it more into service, more into loving service, and more reflecting his message.
I agree, Prashti. Every moment is that opportunity.
Yes. Thank you so much, Venkat,
thank
for
you,
coming. Did you expect that you'll be actually interviewed on Radio Sai when you came this time to Puttaparthi?
No, not at all. It has materialized after the evening discussion with you. And yes. I thank you so much, Prashti. I've enjoyed this. For me, it's an opportunity to just recollect what all happened with me and to reinforce that confidence.
And it's time to share all this. It's time to share his glory.
Yeah.
And so that more and more people know about it, they are touched about it, and they also begin to benefit from all that we have benefited.
I agree. I'll just leave with last one event, Prashti.
Yes.
Do we have more time?
Sure, please go on.
I'll just leave with your last event. You know, me and Partha Sardhi were maze boys of Bhagwan.
Yes. Yes.
You will remember in year 2000.
During the convocation. You were holding the maze.
I was holding the 18th convocation.
Yes.
There was a great big event that happened. Partha and me, we were just 3-4 days away on Ladies' Day. When Swami was providing food to all the people who had got assembled at the stadium.
Yes.
You know, Partha, by error of judgment, he actually crossed over to another railing and he did not know. So His nose got hit very badly in that railing and he was bleeding and his nose was almost cut.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge stitch that had to be put. And the hostel authorities said that there we cannot let you go with a bandage there.
Yeah, it's...
We'll have to change you.
Yeah, you can't be carrying the mace
with the thing. So Partha said, yeah, this is a life's opportunity for me.
Yes.
I don't know what I have done for Swami. But this is one event for which I am going to be grateful to him for. I have never been even near to him. 15, 20 steps also I have not been that near to him. But I'll be standing next to him. They said, yeah, we cannot have somebody bandaged and carrying this for in front of lakhs of devotees.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Partha, we may have to change.
Convocation is such a formal
event. It's a formal event. The President of India is there as the chief guest. So, Partha literally couldn't take it and he just sat before Swami's altar. And said, Swami, if you want, you can do this. My karmas may be bad, Swami, but they are not bigger than you. You are the absolute power. Somehow you have to get this done. He went through an emergency stage and surgery. They removed the bandage, but that mark was there, Pushti.
Mm-hmm.
And Warden sir said, see, we'll have to search for some spectacle for you. We cannot have you go with this mark also. What if Swami sees?
Yes.
So he said, sir, I don't have a number. If I have a spectacle, I'll fall. Yes. I can't fall before that huge set of gathering which is there. And he says, no, we have to search. So, by that time the call from Bhagavan came, saying, ask that boys to come. So, we had to leave without Partha wearing that spectacle. In one night when he cried, that mark had gone to less than 1/10 of the size that it was there previous night.
Wow.
It was a miracle and Partha himself could not believe it. And next day morning he actually was in tears. He says, what you cannot do for your devotees, Swami. And that was a lesson for me. He says, you know, I can understand that Swami can go to any extent for his devotee, for someone who cries and who surrenders and say, you do it for me. So when we were inside and Swami came after he dressed, he had come down and he saw both me and Partha
in
Purnachandra inside.
Yes.
When the drama is going to begin.
Yes, yes.
So Swami came in and he was again in his hands in Chinmudra state. He said, that same sound he took.
Yes.
And when he came to Partha first and said, "Ye mera ni ekad nunche, where are you from?" Swami Vijayawada. And he talked something in Telugu to him and he says that, see, I think you wear spectacles. It is good you are not wearing spectacles today or else I would have to force this boy also to wear spectacles. I am standing next to him and he's saying, I want uniformity everywhere.
Okay.
So where is that talk 4 hours before in the hostel?
Yes.
And Swami is reacting like this. So, you know, so absolutely omnipresent Swami, you know, Partha and me looked at each other and he said, this is God. There is no doubt beyond this point. And later, you know, after all the mace procession, everything was over, I asked Swami, Swami ka photograph kavali. So he says, ye mira photo, baiti ki po, chala mandi photograph undi. You go out, there are hundreds of photos there. I didn't understand. See, when Swami speaks, he speaks from a plane where there is no time and space.
Yes.
You have to just wait for the experience. I never understood this. I got to know what he meant in 2013. You know, me and my wife, we had gone to our parents' home and my mother said, see, Venkat, you remember that mace incident? When next day morning when we came out, the entire newspapers which are outside that Sai Ganesh hotel,
yes,
the Deccan Chronicle, the Hindu, local newspapers, cellular newspapers, all had your picture in front.
Wow.
And Swami and you and Partha Sarathi standing, I have stored one picture with me. Now that old house where I used to stay is going under reconstruction. So she has given the entire baggage of Parthi here. And okay, I said, Amma, I'll come and take it. That time when she was sitting next to me, my wife, she said, Venkat, do you remember? Baiti ki po chala mandi photo undi.
Swami had told. Go
Swami had said,
so
go, there are hundreds of pictures there. That is what he said, Venkat. And at that time I could not understand. I had to wait for 13 years of my life to understand what that meant.
Yes.
So, Pushti Swami in his earthly life has said so many things.
Yes.
Some of the events we have not even seen happen.
Yes.
It will happen, Pushti.
Yes.
I'm saying the master, his name itself is,
yes,
Satya.
Yes.
Whatever he has spoken is Satya.
Yes.
It will happen. And that age is coming where his, yes, name will be there everywhere.
It's just that whenever he wills it and he allows us, we understand a tiny part of whatever he has said or whatever he's doing.
Correct.
And how much can he reveal? I think we should be just eternally be grateful and just accept everything, as you mentioned, as his prasadam. And just surrender. I think then, as you mentioned, life becomes a celebration.
Right, Rishi.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Venkat, for coming to the studios
Thank
and
you
sharing.
So much,
it is really absolutely enlightening, so refreshing, and definitely inspiring.
Thank you very much, Rishi.
Sairam.
Jai Sairam.
Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kotesa. I asked him, is it compulsory to go for darshan?
Oh my God.
I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I've joined the Sakshi Sai College I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall, and he's not something so distant. It's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench a student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle. Again, it was arm wrestling with Swami.
And having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in his institutions and directly experienced his love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect his teachings.
Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can also listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/sai-students. That is radiosai.org/SAISTUDENTS. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sai, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You just heard the final part of the Fleeting Moments conversation with Mr. Venkatraman Krishnamurthy, an alumnus of the Sai University. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have anything to say about this conversation, just walk over to your computer right now and email us your feedback. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. And let me just take this moment to sincerely thank all those listeners who have been sending us their detailed feedback regarding our programs. Let me assure each one of you that we pay full attention to what you tell us. So your feedback doesn't go into any black hole, but is reflected upon as Swami's feedback to us, and then taken into consideration. So a huge thank you to everyone out there who has been feedbacking us regularly. With that, the time right now in Prashanthi Nilayam is 47 minutes after 10 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. And today is the 29th of May, 2014, and you're tuned to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Now, I'm almost done with my content, except for some wonderful music that I have lined up for you. And before I hand over the program or the baton to the next host, I would like to take a moment to offer my hosting efforts at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. I'm ever so beholden to him for this opportunity to be a part of his radio station, God's very own station. And I think it's such a privilege and such a blessing, and I'm always grateful for it. So this is a very grateful Karuna from Team Radio Sai signing off and thanking you for your company and leaving you to enjoy some music before my colleague Brother Raghu signs in with the next segment. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well and stay inspired. Sai Ram.
Nandalala Daya Karo Bhagava.
Jaya Maa, Jaya Maa. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Devotion to Thee.